If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to John, the 6th chapter. We're going to begin reading in the 38th verse. This is part 2 on the true believer. We've had some great Bible studies this last week, and looking for some more this week. We're going to be at Tim and Jen's tomorrow night out in Woodlake. Taught on some great things on Wednesday, which we're going to continue in. But today, we're going to do a part 2 on the true believer. John, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse, Jesus speaking says, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." Listen to this very closely. If you're going to be a true believer, how important do you think it is that you know the will of God in what you're believing? It's pretty important, isn't it? You need to know what the will of God is in the thing that you're believing. Now, last week when we talked about the true believer, we went from John, the 14th chapter, in the first verse, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also." And we talked about, just a quick review here, talked about how people all over the world that don't even put a title of a Christian on themselves or proclaim to be followers of Jesus believe in God, correct? But do they believe in Jesus also? And what we taught was Jesus is the Word of God in truth from heaven. And we're going to continue in that. And what we'll find out is not everybody believes in Jesus also. And that's why their hearts are troubled many times, because they're not walking by a word of faith. They're just walking by what they assume, what they presume, what somebody else has told them, and it's not faith. And so when you have a word of faith and you believe in that faith toward God, you've put all your hope, all your expectations, your life, everything you are in the hands of God, and God will never fail you. He will bring to pass the word that he has spoken unto you, because he cannot lie. Again, John 6 and 38. "For I came down from heaven," this is Jesus himself, "not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Listen very closely to verse 40. "And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So what we're going to look at right now in the true believer is believing in him in whom he has sent. Okay? When you look at the scriptures, even back in the book of Genesis, there were different men chosen out all throughout the Bible. There were prophets that received a word of God that were sent to speak what was given to them, correct? There were patriarchs like Abraham, which was also called a prophet, Moses, which was also called a prophet, Enoch, which was a prophet and prophesied, but they received a word of God and they were sent to speak that word specifically to who God told them to speak it, correct? Enoch was sent to prophesy of the coming of the Lord with 10,000 of his saints. You can read it in the book of Jude. Abraham was sent by God to leave his father's house to a place he would later receive for an inheritance. He was sent to bring forth the promise through his son Isaac. Moses was sent into Egypt to deliver Israel out of the Egyptian bondage and to bring them into a land of promise, one that God was going to take from the enemies, seven nations, specifically the land of Canaan, that they were going to overcome the seven nations, which is a type of the seven abominations that the Bible speaks of, and inherit the land that the enemy possessed at one time. And that land was called a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land of promise that God had provided for them. So when we look at these different patriarchs, when we look at these different prophets, even judges, even a prophetess that was sent by God, these are types of saviors. But Jesus said here that it is the will of God that you believe on him in whom he has sent, referring to himself. If you go back and read in this chapter what took place, Jesus feeds the multitude with bread and fish, and they begin to follow him. And he said, you're not following me for the miracles. You're not following me for the works that I've done, but you're following me because I fed you with this bread. And Jesus begins to speak to them in a parable and tells them at one point, he tells them that you didn't come for the bread from heaven. He said, labor not for the meat that perisheth. This is verse 27. But for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the God the Father sealed. And he's leading up to a place where he's telling them what the will of his Father in heaven is, and that is that you believe on him and whom he has sent. We paraphrased this a while ago. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the Bible says there is such a thing as a word of faith. And that's what we preach to you. The faith that we have received, the word of God that God has given to us, we preach it to you. Why? So you can be a partaker of that same faith. Because you're going to see in verse 17, like I already quoted earlier, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of the Lord. So if you can hear my word of faith, that word of faith becomes your word of faith, Kevin. Now the same thing I'm believing in, you're believing in. And we're both a part of the true believer because we're believing in a word of faith that has been sent from heaven to us. This concept's pretty simple so far, right? Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So what goes together for salvation? Believing and confession. You believe and you confess, and you're on your way to salvation. That's what it says, right? Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Now, wait a minute. You mean I'm not just believing haphazardly? I'm not just like the Pharisees that honor God with their lips, but their hearts from him? This believing has to come from the heart. You can't just say, in my mind, I believe a certain thing. I mean, you got to believe this all the way down to the depths of your soul. You got to believe it with your whole heart. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's awesome, isn't it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But watch, there's kind of a backwards progression here. It's telling you you have to call upon the name of the Lord, correct? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So you can't call or make a confession without believing, correct? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So you can't confess or believe without hearing. You with me? And then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? You have to have that preacher to be able to hear, to be able to believe, to be able to confess, to be able to be saved. This is what Paul's saying here, correct? Now, when you say a preacher, you might automatically think, well, that's you, Brian. Or look around and say, these other preachers, if I can turn on the TV and I can listen to a preacher, I can hear and be saved. But we're specifically talking about believing on him in whom he has sent. Each and every one of us here today must have the word of God from heaven named Jesus Christ sent into our world, into our heart, and believe him who is sent. So has Jesus as the truth. He said, you believe in God, believe in me also. Has a truth from heaven been sent into your world? In other words, has the Christ, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, been revealed in your world yet? I'll tell you, I'm going to show you why I'm saying it like I am. Walker, give me the scripture in Ecclesiastes 3 that tells us that God has set the world in our hearts. So I'm going to draw here a decent-sized heart. Walker's going to read me a scripture here. God hath made everything beautiful in his time. Tell him where you're at.
Ecclesiastes 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end.
So where is the world? Well, it's out here, Brian. It's Visalia, California. It's Fresno, California. It's Orange County, California. Well, yes, that's true. That is planet Earth. But when we're talking about the world, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, there's no middle road here. And I'm not here to preach a hell and hellfire brimstone message, but you either believe or you perish. He said, if he that believeth not in me shall die in his sins. Correct? Read that one more time, Walker.
He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end.
Now, first of all, who is there? Who's he talking about here that he set the world in their heart? That's exactly right, Tim, the sons of God. Isn't this the same chapter, or I know it's the same book, that says that God might manifest them, that they might see that they are the sons of God? Who's he talking about, the sons of God? That God might manifest the sons of God, that they might see that they are beasts, men in honor with no understanding, huh, Julie? So here, for the Son of God, like Kevin and Jennifer, God has taken a world and placed it into your heart. A lot of stuff in that world, just like there's a lot of stuff in this world. But one thing very specific that we must have in that world is Jesus Christ. We must have the Savior sent from heaven into our world in order for us to believe, because he really is that preacher. And so am I saying, Brian, you haven't been sent? No, I have received a send from the Lord. But it was from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. He appeared to me in a vision and was magnificent, just like John described him in the book of Revelation. He had eyes like a flame of fire. His hair was white as wool. His garment was white all the way down to his feet, which were like fine brass burning. And as he descended from heaven, he changed his glory to that he looked like a shepherd. He had a robe on. And he looked me right in my eyes, Kevin, and reached into his robe, into, by his, what you call his bosom, his chest. He pulled out a book and he said, feed my sheep. I mean, I'm weeping and crying. It was amazing. But he sent me to feed his sheep. He sent me to preach the word of God. So the preacher made me a preacher. I took the word of faith, which was given to me, and I believed it towards God and never stopped preaching from that day forward. I was living in Chicago at the time when this happened to me. It wasn't long after that I got sent here to California and continued to preach everything that my Savior gave me in my heart to all of you that would hear what he has to say. So, yes.
What's beautiful about that is he gave that to you, and then you give it to us.
It's beautiful. He has made everything beautiful in his time. And you know what? That's the exponential factor. Because he gave it to me, I'm preaching it to you. If you can hear it, whosoever you preach it to, look at how, this is how on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, the Bible says 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. That's because of what Peter preached. And what did he preach? Acts 2:38. Repent ye, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what he gave. A word of faith with a promise, didn't he? Jennifer, do you want to say anything else about that? Let's go back to Romans 10. Now, remember, I've drawn on the board a heart with a makeshift earth in there. It's a world. Doesn't have to, because it's really not this world. It doesn't have to look exactly like planet Earth. But on the left side here, we talked last week, Jesus said, you believe in God, believe in me also. So Jesus said, you believe in God, believe in me also. So we got God and we got Jesus. We showed last week God to be Spirit, right? What is it? John 4:24? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Correct? And then Jesus said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was that Word? He was manifest in the flesh, wasn't he? So we have Jesus as Word, which is the origin of all things, isn't it? See, in the beginning, and still to this day, Word is Spirit, right? But Word can be sent to you. Now, I'm going to erase this little thing here because I got to write inside there. To some degree, when God ordains by His Spirit for you to hear a word of faith, that word of faith is sent from heaven to the world that's in each and every one of our hearts. And if we can hear that word and receive it, that becomes a word of faith to us. Now that's placed in our heart. What do we do with that word of faith that we've heard from heaven? Or we've heard in the preaching? Carrie said, confess it, which is true, but there was something before confessing it, wasn't there? You had to believe, don't you? And there was something before that, too, wasn't there? Let's go back here to Romans 10. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you got a preacher, you got a hearing, you got a believing, and you have a confession. Correct? All of these are working together with what? What are you, what's being preached, what's being heard, what's being believed on, and what are you confessing? A word of faith, which is, somebody said it out there, which is the truth, isn't it? Is Jesus the truth? That word that was from heaven, is he the way, the truth, and the life? So the whole key here is, and Tristan said that last week what he heard was to keep the word of God pure. And that's very true. Because when it comes from heaven, it is true. It is pure. Every word of God is pure. And he is a buckler to them that put their trust in him. So this word in heaven is true. But what happens when it comes to your heart? This is what we talked about some last week. What do you do with that word when it comes to you? Remember on the board we drew... What did we draw, Walker? Word, thought, image and works. And we showed that can go either way. How you hear determines if you have a corrupted word, which would not be a word of faith, but you would think it was. Or if you hear correctly, then you have a word of faith that you can walk by and you can believe in towards God. If you corrupt the word, your believing's going to be corrupt, isn't it? So you wouldn't really be walking in the true believer, but you would think you were. So now what are we? Deceived. And Carrie's right, you're actually an unbeliever. Thinking that you're a true believer, correct? Now we're reading in Romans 10. He said, how shall they, this is the end of 14, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach? This is what I want to get to right here. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Jesus said, this is the will of my Father. We have to know the will of God in order to be a true believer. And the will of God is that you believe in him in whom he has sent. Do you believe in the preacher? Do you believe in the word of God that is truth? Do you believe in God? And do you believe in Jesus also? The confession would be, amen. I agree. I do believe in these things. Now, Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, says, for without faith, it is impossible to please him. So without this word of faith sent from heaven in your heart, you're never going to please God. And I know when God drew me from the beginning and put peace in my heart, and the only thing I wanted to do was please God. I'll be honest with you. He did something for me that I couldn't do myself and nobody else could do for me. He did something that changed me forever, especially with this life. I understand in eternity, God already knew and predestined what he was going to do in my life. But as Brian Heron, I didn't understand that. And so when God, drew me unto him and I answered that call, the change of my thoughts, the peace that I had, the joy and the contentment, all I wanted to do was please God and make sure he was, you know, it's like somebody that does something nice for you. What do you want to do for them? Something nice, right? You want to make them happy. Reciprocate. Absolutely. And see, that scripture says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, see, this is a part of being a true believer. It says, must. This is not negotiable. Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So does God reciprocate somebody that seeks him? Absolutely, huh, Kevin? He gives back to them. So when he said, you believe in God, believe in me also, you believe that he is, but what's the second half of that? That he is a rewarder. So how does God reward them that diligently seek him? By giving them faith. By letting them be a partaker of the faith of Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? That's what we're walking by. This is what it means to go on in perfection when you're in the doctrine of faith toward God. You have a word, but you're believing it towards God. You're not putting the pressure on yourself. You're believing God's faithful. And you're believing that God has given you something that you can believe in. So, I want to finish this scripture, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now, this puts a great emphasis on being here on Sunday and hearing this preaching, doesn't it? Only if you believe that the word you're hearing is from heaven. If the word you're hearing is not from heaven, stay home, watch football. I don't know what season it is right now, basketball, baseball. So back to verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So when you receive a word of faith, even if it's correction, is it a glad tiding of good things to you? It should be. God chastens the son that he loves. When God corrects you by a word of faith, if you don't receive that word, if it's grievous to you, what does the Bible say about the individual that can't be corrected? He said, if you receive the word, God dealeth with you as a son. But if not, then are you bastards. God's not even your father in that. So how you're receiving this word is very important, isn't it, Julie? How you hear this word is of the utmost importance, isn't it? Is it a word of men? Or it is, remember we read 1 Thessalonians 2:13 last week? The word that effectually works in you is the word that you believe. It wasn't a word of men, but it was a word of God, which is in truth. That's what Paul said. And that word effectually works in them that do believe. Now, where do we start off? John 6. Let's go back to our opening text real quick. This is such a rich chapter. We start in verse 38. Let me see here. So we have, on the right here, you have a word of faith. You believe in that word, correct? Not only believe, but in Hebrews it said, you must. You must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, correct? Now, why did that not change? Let me see here. 6, and let's go around verse 43, 44. We're going through a progression of how these things work. You got to have a preacher with a word of faith. You have to hear that preacher. What comes after the hearing of it? Believing, and then a confession of what you've heard of that word. All right. John 6 and 44. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So again, even though Jesus said in this same chapter that me and my Father are one, he still is showing a separation, isn't he? You believe in God, believe in me also. What for? Why can't you just put God as one? Because you can't see God, can you? Can you see a word of faith that's come to you? Can you see a word? How would you see a word? Because you hear words, don't you? In your mind? In your imagination, in dreams, in visions. We're going to take that one step farther because we know that God speaks by dream and vision, correct? But you can see a word of faith by seeing Jesus. That's what he said. He that sees me and believes, let's go back and read that real quick. That's where he was talking about doing his Father's will. Yeah, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. So when you look at that, your first thought is, well, I can't see him as a physical man. I mean, Jesus died 2,000 years ago, and no matter what kind of man you believed he was back then, he can't appear to you as a physical man, can he? Maybe in Kevin, in a word of faith, but as Jesus Christ, when he was manifest in the flesh, when he was manifest to the world, how was he manifested in? Was it a body of flesh? It was a body of flesh, but what happened to that body of flesh? Died, was buried, was resurrected. So there was a change in that body. What kind of body does Jesus have now? A celestial body or a heavenly body. So he can appear to you like he did even in the scriptures in a different form. You remember after his resurrection, he appeared to Mary and she didn't know who he was, Kevin. And then he said some things to her and she's like, oh, she thought he was a gardener. Tim, she's looking for the body. She thought he's a gardener. And he says some things to her. She's like, Rabboni, which is to say master by interpretation. And remember on the road to Damascus, there's two walking. Jesus is walking with two disciples and they don't know who he is. Why? It says he came to them in another form. But have you ever thought about this? When they saw Enoch, when they saw Abraham, when they saw Moses, when they saw David, those that were sent from heaven with the word of God, were they seeing Jesus as a word of truth from heaven? Yes. The Bible calls our patriarchs, our judges, our prophets, our righteous men and women of God that carried the word of God, it calls them saviors. But they were a type and a shadow of the true. So what's the difference between Moses bringing a word and Jesus said, you got to believe on me? What's the difference in Jesus being the word from heaven and the bread of life? He said, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven. My father did that. But I'm the true bread. They had so much trouble with that. But I'm asking you here today, what's the difference between the men of God we see in the Bible that had a word to speak and Jesus himself? What's the difference? Daryl? That's true. They had a piece or a part. We know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is part is done away. What else? Yes. How about this? When God gave Moses a word, who is that word for? I know when we read it, we go, the Bible's for me. We say that all the time, and we use the Bible like that. But who was it actually to, the word that he gave Moses? It was to Pharaoh. It was to Israel, correct? But what about the word of faith now from heaven? Who is it sent to? To us. It's sent to us. Can God show you and reveal to you the understanding of Enoch, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Jacob, all the patriarchs and judges? He can. How would he do that? By his Spirit, he would send a word from heaven into your heart for you to believe. Let me see here. John 6 and 44. This is the beginning of the true believer. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. So wait a minute. He said, this is the will of my Father, that you believe on him and whom he has sent. Correct? You believe on the truth, the word of God from heaven. But then he said, no man can come to me except the Father, which is Spirit, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So, here's the beginning of all of it, and this is why you're here today. God ordained from the beginning for you to hear this word, and he put a draw on your life. You can say it's a calling, you can call it a draw. In reality, it was a predestination. That's why you are here today. God preordained from the foundation of the world for you to hear a preacher that he sent from heaven. And that when you hear that preacher, you can believe that word and you can walk the rest of your life with faith toward God. How many understand that? How many believe that? I mean, it's scripture, but you got to be, when I'm preaching these things, when I'm speaking these things, you got to be going, aha, that's what happened to me. I mean, unless you're arrogant and you go, oh, I'm just smarter than everybody else. I figured this thing out. I read the Bible and I know how these things work. No. God drew you. This is a spiritual work. These things took place in the spirit. And he by his word, he put in your heart for you to have something to believe so you can be what I'm teaching about here today, the true believer. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that explain life? It did for me. I know before I heard the draw, I heard the call, I was like, man, there got to be more to life than this. You're born, you know, you go to school, you, depending on how many years, you finish school, you get your career, hopefully you get all this stuff in order and have a house before you get married, but sometimes it always work out that way. You work what? Darryl, how many years before you retired? 30? 35, Jim?
Too long.
Was it four, like 4 years you retired? Huh? Jim's a great example of how to retire. Darryl, how long?
Too long.
Jim? 40 years. Wow. A little over 29 years. My goodness. That's awesome. But my point is, you live 29 years, you retire, what's next? You die, Darryl said. That's life? I looked at it and I said, no way. No way. There's got to be more to this. There's got to be more to life. And then I answered the call in, and God opened a whole new world up to me. One called heaven. One called eternity. The eternal realm. And I'm like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. I knew there was more to this than Brian Heron being born, raised, and die. You know? And I got purpose from that. I got understanding from it. And I've received word after word after word. See, we're changed into the image of God from glory to glory. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Is that Romans 1:17? Are you with me here? The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Every word that, and see, this is not a one-time thing. Do you understand? Let me draw something up here. Do you understand this is a continual fountain of faith? That these words continually are coming down the conveyor belt to you. Continually. Darryl, do you also know that a death, a burial, and a resurrection is not a one-time thing? What? We said it's a word of faith. Jesus is a word of faith. Is there many quickenings? Is there many things you have to die to? That you have to be buried or placed into the body of Christ with and be raised up from the dead? Are you with me? This is a great understanding, because if you're just thinking like the so-called world does, you're waiting for the rapture and all of it to be at one time, planes start falling out of the sky and buses wrecking and, you know, and all this stuff, you're going to miss the truth of what a resurrection really is. Who had their hand up, Darryl?
I was thinking that Mary was a perfect example of what you're teaching there. Gabriel was sent from God with a word for Mary, and she believed that word, and then immediately, well, within 3 months, began to confess that word to her cousin. So you have the sent word, you have the believing, you have the confession, and it brought forth an image. It brought forth a Jesus Christ, a Savior, into that world. Without that believing, that would have never happened.
That's very good, Darryl. And that progression has got to take place for every one of us. Christ has got to be manifested in your world. The Savior has got to, the Jew has got to come forth first. Otherwise, you're trying to save all these things without Jesus. Good luck with that. There's only one Savior. So Jesus is manifested in your heart to you first, and now we're rocking and rolling. Now we can begin to hear and understand the story of God back from Adam all the way through the book of Revelation. Do you know why? Because of this next part. I'm going to give you a great hope here right now, and I'm going to finish. I'm going to give you an awesome expectation that you can walk in that goes with the true believer, okay? I'm going to use scripture to do it, and we'll talk about it a little bit. He said in verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, real quick, I just want to see by the showing of your hands, how many of you perceive that God has drawn you to salvation? Amen. The whole place. That is awesome. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 45. Pay close attention. It is written in the prophets. And otherwise it was prophesied. It was predestined him. And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard, Julie, and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Did you hear that? What expectation can we have here? First of all, God has drawn us. Secondly, what has he drawn us to do? To be taught. Tim, you've been talking about this a lot over months, maybe years. You're taught both the good and the evil. You're subjected to all things, aren't you? So this word of faith that we receive of God, it doesn't just teach you about all the great forefathers that I talked about, being Enoch and Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. What else will it teach you about? Maybe a Lucifer? Maybe a great hunter named Nimrod? Huh? How about Nebuchadnezzar? How about Pharaoh? Do you want to learn all the things of God? Or you just want a part? We want it all. Don't we? We want it all. God, don't hold back. Show us it all. I'm going to give you my whole heart, and you give me your whole story. What do you think? This is how the true believer thinks. This is what the true believer walks in. We're going to continue probably part three next week. Any questions? I'm going to stop right here if possible. Anybody like to comment, add anything in? Okay, we're going to stop right there. God bless you guys. Appreciate you very much. Meditate in these things. If God talks to you about it, though, please pick up your phone. Give me a call. I'll promise you, if God has talked to you about the things that I have preached here, I guarantee you when we talk, God will add to us. 100%. Is that right, Bryce? Bryce and I started a Saturday meeting, and man, God's all over it. Doing some great things, isn't he, Bryce? Okay, thank you for coming today. Bless you.